So, Berto, do you know that there's a conspiracy or a theory online that Jar Jar Binks is really a Sith Lord? He's really like the master evil planner of the entire prequel situation. Did you know that there's a theory?
I've heard of this. I think I came across it on this website called flatearth.org.
Yeah.
They have lots of brilliant ideas on this website.
Uh-huh. Well, when we were at the last live show in January 2018, and we were meeting various different patrons that had who had traveled and were, you know, after we did the live show, we were socializing, having some drinks and whatnot. And we discovered that we had some patrons who were super fans for this theory of Jar Jar Binks being, you know, the Sith Lord of all.
And I assume they were just, you know, teasing, you know, after the show, we had a few drinks, we were all, you know, socializing. I thought they were like joking around, you know, like making up wacky stories on the spot.
Well, let's find out. So I asked them to be on the show. It's a couple. It's April and Luke.
Luke.
And
I am your Jar Jar.
There's probably some deep character in one of the novels or comic books named April. I'm just guessing. But I'm guessing it's spelled weird, like with an apostrophe in there.
You know, Leia means April in Wookiee.
Okay. So I asked them to come on the podcast, and we made a date to for the four of us to talk, you, me, and Luke, and April. And then you had a family emergency.
That's right.
And so I called them and canceled on them, like, just a minute before. And then we rescheduled. And we were, you know, I was very apologetic and whatnot. And then I was podcasting all day that day, and everything was like just getting lost in my brain.
You forgot.
And I forgot. So I just completely stood them up last time. And then this time, I'll spare everyone the details on my audio problems that I've been dealing with for probably 2 weeks now. Before we started recording, Umberto witnessed me probably the most angry I've ever been, except for that one time when you and I were in Vancouver and I was pointing in your face.
Yes.
But anyway, so it's a miracle that this is getting off the ground. But so we finally have April and Luke on the show. Welcome to the show, April and Luke.
Hello. Hello. Thanks for having us, finally.
Yeah, thank you for having
us. We must either really love you or really love Star Wars.
Yeah.
Also, Kirk, you left out the part where we tricked you into thinking that the podcast was last week.
Oh, right. So then last week, they email me and they're like, so we're podcasting tonight, right?
Oh, no.
And for a split second, I was mortified because I thought I had sent a date again, and it was
you're awful. Evil.
Well,
it was all her idea.
April after
that's
all.
Right.
April
yeah.
Fools.
Yeah, April fools you. Too bad it's the wrong month.
Just yeah. And by the way, April runs the Facebook fan page, the Psychology in Seattle fan group.
Yeah, she's taking up the torch.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now everyone is subjected to my thoughts on the podcast.
This is the Psychology in Seattle podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda, and I'm a therapist and a professor. Who are you, bro?
My name is Umberto Castaneda, and I run a website for debunked theories that I want to resurface, bring back to life.
So I'm just going to mention in the middle of this podcast, April and Luke, you have to really yell because the speaker we're listening to on our end is extremely small, which is super janky. But like, okay. So just scream as loud as you can.
That won't make us sound really angry.
Yes. No, that sounds great.
Jar Jar.
I've never had anyone call me their Jar Jar before.
So tell us, experts on Jar Jar Sith theory, what is this theory?
Well, it basically goes that Jar Jar was supposed to be the big bad of the first, well, episodes 1, 2, 3. And then due to the backlash from episode 1, Birdo's favorite episode, they switched him out with this random Dooku guy. Is the reason I've only seen episodes. Well, the whole first trilogy is the only reason I've only seen episodes 2 and 3 like once. But they switched him out with Dooku in theory because everyone hated Jar Jar. Jar Jar was supposed to be this horrible guy who ruined everything and gave us the whole Star Wars thing.
But wait. One point of clarification. Because I had heard, clearly incorrectly it sounds like, that Jar Jar was like the ultimate master, meaning like he might have been Palpatine's master. But you're saying now that he'd be more like Count Dooku, which would be a sub, like he was subjugated to Palpatine.
Over. No, like he was supposed to be the big bad, but then he chickened out and they put Count Dooku in.
And so like Emperor, but see how would that have worked with the Emperor storyline? Like at some point the Emperor kills Jar Jar? I mean,
well, some people think that he would have confronted one of the, you know, Master Jedi in episode 3 or something and either run off or being killed. Because otherwise, how do you explain him being pretty much nowhere?
we saw some of the best Jedi out there barely able to survive. Well, in fact, one of them died against Darth. And Darth Maul was supposed to be like just an apprentice to Palpatine, and Palpatine was apparently an apprentice to Jar Jar. Who could, and then Yoda struggled against Dooku, like who could have possibly taken Jar Jar on?
It's a fair question. Like it definitely could have been Palpatine that eventually took him on.
Okay, like in a classic apprentice takes out the
Oh, and we should say this isn't our theory. This is from some Reddit post from Walla Rompu or something.
Yeah, it's from Reddit, you guys.
No. You don't get no. When we spoke, you clearly stood in this corner. I'm making this officially your theory.
Oh, okay.
You're fully accountable. Our theory,
and we are behind that original Reddit post. So there you go.
So I think we've gone a little too fast because for many out there, and for me, prior to researching this, I would be like, well, wait a second. What's the evidence?
Let's hear the evidence.
Because, you know, Jar Jar was just this goofball in episode 1. How, you know, is this just one of those internet theories that goes out there, like the whole John Watson, Sherlock Holmes are really gay for each other theories?
Well, I haven't heard this.
Oh, yeah. That's a massive ship.
Oh, no.
And I probably just, you know, introduced a bunch of hatred towards me in terms of just mentioning it, but or calling it a theory. But you know, how do we know that this was either Lucas's intention or some other sort of higher intention beyond Lucas himself?
Yeah, let's hear the evidence.
Right. Okay. So there is a lot of evidence. We can go through, I guess, a couple of them.
Yeah. I mean, we should also say we fell down a rabbit hole a couple, you know, maybe 6 or 7. Actually, when was the meetup? January?
Yeah.
What is it now? June. Okay. Probably 7 or 8 months ago.
And by the way, at the meetup, at the live show, Berto and I recreated a scene between Jar Jar and, and Qui-Gon Jinn. And Berto wore his Jar Jar full mask over his head.
That's right. Yes. And what you guys might have not realized is it was subtle, but I was playing Jar Jar as the true Sith Master.
Oh, you were?
Right. Darth Jar Jar.
Yep.
Yeah, looking back, I can definitely, you know, your minor facial feature changes. You know, totally. I can see how you did that.
Okay, so first first evidence is kind of that the Jedi are based off of like Shaolin monks. And there's a certain form of fighting that's called Drunken Fist or Zquan. So it's where you use seemingly uncoordinated attacks to disable and defeat your enemy. And that Jar Jar often demonstrates this in the movies.
Yeah, I've seen the Drunken Master Jackie Chan movie, which is really great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have seen that movie. And in that movie, it is obvious that he knows what he's doing.
And I remember Virtua Fighter from the 90s had a drunken master.
Right.
So I'm basically an expert on drunken.
You're an expert on drunken master. No, but I mean, you know, the point is, the point of that style, which I studied for several centuries.
Right.
By drinking a lot.
By drinking a lot.
Yes, yes.
No, but the point of that style is that, first of all, a fluidity of motion and basically flowing like water with whatever comes your way. And total deception because your opponent thinks, oh, this is not a threat. This person is intoxicated. This person, oh, whoa, they just kicked my butt. right?
Right.
Pretty much.
But it, when the actual like actions take place, at least in the movie, and that is canon, like Drunken Master is the canon we have to go on. In the movie, when the fighting takes place, it's clearly that Jackie Chan has a directed purpose. It's not, it doesn't seem completely random. And he does. He also doesn't go, oh, whoops! Oh, Misa, so sorry!
Oh, that would be strange. I agree if he said that. That's fair. I've never seen that movie. Have you?
No.
No.
Oh, how can we, even, you know what? I'm out.
All right.
That's homework for you.
Homework, okay.
So there's that. There's also like...
Well, I think there's some more like evidence for it. Like you said, you know, they're trying to... You know, you wouldn't assume them to be, you know, dangerous. And who's more right. unassuming than Jar Jar in like the entire trilogy and all the Star Wars movies? So, like, he definitely fits that. And there's like he destroys that entire droid army almost single-handedly on Naboo. You see him jumping incredibly high, where you're like,
oh, and about how he destroys the army. Sorry to interject, but that's apparently because he's so lucky, which is I think part of why everyone hated him so much. Because
right.
he just magically bonks the ground with these blasters and kills all these droids. Like, really? That's not likely. So, but then I guess some people theorize that that's actually him using the Force to, you know, make things happen the way he wants them to.
Right.
You know, killing droids or screwing up the whole galaxy, you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I could see it. I could see how we could retcon that bad writing that way.
Berto, you don't sound like you're a believer in this.
Well, I'm not yet. I have a feeling by the end of this, I might start.
So really, Kirk just invited us here to convince you and made it seem like you were going to discuss.
I mean, I'm not going to say I'm like the judge, jury, and executioner, but I'm at least three of those three.
Right.
So right, what other evidence is there?
Yeah, let's see if we can persuade you. So Jar Jar, well, Jedi and I guess Sith probably have this power too of like mind persuasion. Where Rey tricks the stormtrooper to let her out of her that crazy chair thing in The Force Awakens. And like they do that through the trilogies too. And usually with that, there's a hand gesture or something. And mm-hmm. you see... In the movie, many times Jar Jar making these hand gestures as he's suggesting something to different characters. Probably, well, I'll just go through a couple of them. So he does a hand gesture when he's being promoted to Bombad General of the Gungan Grand Army. He does a hand gesture when he's trying to gain a seat on the Senate, when he's talking to Padme.
Yeah.
If you watch the videos, like they'll show you these actual scenes. And then the biggest one is when he convinces the entire Senate to hand over power to Palpatine. Where he's making these, you know, these gestures with his hands. And all this is animated, right? So these actions, and even with like the drunken fist stuff too, he's an animated character, so they put all these motions in on purpose.
Yeah, right. Every little thing he does is on purpose. He's not
right. Okay, so we're saying like here, if I can paraphrase, whereas no one else, including me right this second, uses hand gestures while they speak.
Exactly.
Jar Jar is uniquely positioned in the... okay, no, but the point is that there's these pivotal moments in the movie where things happen in his favor. And right when that was happening, he was making some sort of hand gesture. So the idea is, oh, you know how when Obi-Wan did it? Well, this is his version of it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and that, I mean, that one's pretty easy to dismiss. The other one that's sort of related is that often... and if you look up clips on YouTube, you can see him doing this. He, like, they'll slow it down so you can see it. He will be mouthing words that someone else says at pivotal points in the movie, sort of like behind them. And again, he's animated, and you'll like just barely see his mouth like peeking behind a wall, saying the same thing or what appears to be the same thing as like Padme saying she doesn't approve, you know, things like that. And again, like he's animated. He wasn't just some actor who accidentally had gum in his mouth at that time, you know?
Yeah, that one's pretty compelling. So it's sort of like when you're watching Harry Potter and you see Snape mouthing some stuff and everyone assumes he's trying to curse Harry Potter, but he's really trying to save him. But in this case, it's the opposite.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I think April summed it up just perfectly in that she's trying to be nice, basically by saying, no, it's nothing like that. Because, well, yeah, because in this instance, no one noticed that Jar Jar was mouthing until people started looking for it. Right?
Apparently. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So what other evidence? Let's see if Umberto is...
you're not convinced yet?
Well, I mean, that last one you provided, I'll have to double check it, but that's almost enough for me to declare victory on Jar Jar is evil. But not quite. Let's keep going.
I thought that would be harder to convince you, to be honest.
Yeah, well, we'll see if there's a comeback on my stance.
Yeah, I have a couple more. Okay, good. So to be honest, the internal evidence, you know, inside the actual movies, it is compelling, especially if you watch the scenes. But I think the external evidence, so stuff going on outside of the movies, real life stuff, is almost more compelling. So one of the things that I, when I was watching the videos and reading some of the posts that I thought was kind of convincing was that the prequels, according to George Lucas, were supposed to rhyme. Right. So kind of like mirror each other in a way. And here's a quote from him. Where it says, and this is about Yoda. So he says, Yoda really comes from a tradition in mythological storytelling and fairy tales of the hero finding a little creature on the side of the road that seems very insignificant and not very important, but who turns out to be the master wizard or the master thing.
Yep.
Right. So when you meet Yoda, he's this, you know, kind of bumbling fool. But in the end, he obviously turns into, you know, being Yoda, the Jedi master. And how you can see Jar Jar Binks at first being this total fool, and that's what everyone obviously thinks he is.
And isn't he basically found on a path too? Like he gets saved, I think. Like Qui-Gon.
I don't think it has to be literal.
Okay, well, I want it to be, so there it is.
And then he and I just see that mirroring with Jar Jar, where he could have ended up turning into, you know, this secret really powerful guy.
Yeah.
Right, just like how in Return of the Jedi, that little sort of bumbling, weird little creature that sits next to Jabba ends up being completely insignificant. Sort of like that.
Oh my.
What's his name? Like Cornelius Crumb?
Or something like that, yeah.
Look, I don't even remember.
Crumb, right? Like, there is
something Crumb.
Yeah.
Captain Crumb.
Captain Crumb.
Oh!
I'm secretly the Jedi Master.
Right. So you do realize that not every, you know, crazy character in the movie is this, you know.
But yeah. Some are.
The storytelling.
Some are.
Yeah. Right. Like Wicket and C-3PO. Right. C-3PO appears like bumbling and a little bit like awkward. Turns out he's a mastermind behind the whole operation.
It sounds like you're losing Umberto.
I'm sorry, Birdo.
I don't know, but you know, to be fair, because I did watch that documentary, and so to be fair...
Oh my gosh, you watched it and you've been grilling us this whole time.
I wouldn't put it past Mr. Lucas to try to do something poetic like that.
Right.
He did it on the light side, and maybe... But here is my counter.
Okay. All right.
That literally what he was trying... Well, okay, mine is not goofy and blah, blah, blah. But that is what Palpatine's story is, right? He is the evil in front of your eyes the whole time. It's just that he's not bumbling, right? He's literally the evil one from the very beginning in front of your eyes. And if you had never seen the sequels, I guess, if you had never seen the originals and you're watching episode 1, 2, 3 linearly, you might in fact be shocked to find out, at least by episode 2 maybe, whatever. You might be shocked to find that Senator Palpatine ends up being the head bad guy behind it all. So I think he sort of had that role cast.
I don't know, because most of the fans would obviously be aware that he becomes.
Yeah, this is true.
Palpatine. So mm-hmm. I don't think that would serve the same.
But most of the fans were aware of who R2-D2 was, and it didn't stop him from putting in a showstopper scene where they call out his name and ask us to remember it. So I don't know.
I'm going to take a poll. So Luke, do you believe that? So I think there's three different stories that are possible. One is that Jar Jar is what he seems to be, which is just a bumbling fool character that
kid entertainment.
It was just, you know, like an Ewok or something,
right?
Or a C-3PO kind of bumbling character who Lucas wrote into the first episode intending on it to be an ongoing character, but realized it was like not well received because he had a bunch of yes men around him and it was racist, frankly. And he decided to scale the character back in the other episodes and never intended on Jar Jar being anything other than what he seems. You know, he's not a drunken master. He's just a drunken. And this story too is that he fully intended on Jar Jar being a Sith master of some kind, whether he's Palpatine's boss or he's under Palpatine, doesn't really matter, but some kind of Sith master who has all these subtle clues in the first episode. And then because of the backlash against Jar Jar, decided to not fully play out that story, but sort of had little clues that maybe that was still a possibility in other episodes, but really scaled the whole character back because of the backlash. The third story is that the episodes 1, 2, and 3 are exactly the way that Lucas wanted it to be. And he never wanted it to be obvious. He's such a subtle writer that he wanted there to be this super deep trick.
And in this version 3, he is intending for him to be evil, but he never intended to reveal that.
Exactly.
I got it.
Oh, so okay. Luke, which story do you believe?
So wait, can we sum these up? So one is that he was never meant to be the bad guy. Number two is he was supposed to be the bad guy, and then they chickened out. Three is that he's still the bad guy, and they just wanted him to be more subtle in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, so confession time.
Oh no.
Like you, Berto, I'm not really convinced that he was, you know, supposed to be this, you know, the master Sith. He could have been, for sure. Like there's a chance. Mm-hmm. It's possible. So I guess like what I think, I for sure think he would have been, I think he was supposed to have a bigger role, for sure. So I'm not sure if that would be one or three.
It's sort of like two, actually.
No, it's like one, but...
Sorry, because you're saying you don't think Lucas intended for him to really be the bad Sith.
Yeah, if I had to put money on it, probably not. I would say he was supposed to have a bigger role in the trilogy.
Right, a bigger role, but a bigger role as a doofus.
A bigger C-3PO role.
Yeah.
More along those lines. And there's this one, there's this really cool interview where... they interview the voice actor, Ahmed Best, who plays Jar Jar Binks, where I think he's talking about an early script for episode 2 actually being called Jar Jar's Grand Adventure.
What?
Seen that one? Have you seen that?
What was that?
Have you seen the interviews about that?
No.
Oh, okay.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah, and Ahmed Best, he also did a tweet basically saying let's see if I can find it.
He said it.
What can I say about this? There's a lot about it that's true. And that's in relation to all these videos and theories that came up.
I believe it was also him who tweeted out that it feels good when some of the intent behind the work is finally seen.
Who said that?
The Ahmed actor.
The actor.
I think it was Ahmed Best as well.
Oh, okay. So there's a fourth theory that I'm developing right now.
Oh, okay.
Which is... that Jar Jar wasn't meant to be evil in the first episode, but was intended to be a Jedi, but he didn't know he was a Jedi. And he was, you know, waving his
hands.
So he
was strong with the Force, but we didn't know.
Right, he was strong with the Force.
Yeah.
And that Lucas... So and we haven't mentioned that one of the key pieces of evidence that people point to saying that Jar Jar was a Sith was that while filming the first episode, Lucas said, Jar Jar is the key to the whole trilogy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is an important... Can't believe you didn't bring... That's a key phrase.
Hey, it's part of my notes. I was going...
All right.
But that could mean a lot of things. You know, you could have said the same thing about...
Yeah, we don't know the context.
Yeah, you could say the same thing about R2-D2. It's like, you know, we got to nail R2-D2.
Right.
We don't nail it.
And it actually is in many ways true. R2-D2 was an incredible glue for that whole trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did not nail Jar Jar and everything fell apart in those.
It's like poetry. It rhymes.
So the fourth possibility is that Jar Jar was actually strong with the Force and Lucas was writing in all these things. And that the second episode, or at least, you know, episode 2 and 3, were supposed to have themes of Jar Jar maturing into a some kind of, you know, other strong character.
Yeah.
With the Force and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I'm going with option five.
All right. Oh,
before I talk about option five.
We're going to have 72 options by the end of this podcast.
But before I talk about option five, April, where are you landing?
Well, I'm a little bit option four. Like, I think he was supposed to have a much bigger role than he did originally. Like, maybe as a Force user, maybe he does just have a lot of ridiculous luck and he was just going to grow into some other final version of himself, you know, mature and become less terrible. But I desperately want the Sith thing to be true, but it's just kind of, I don't know. The evidence is, like, a lot of it is sort of, if you put it all together, it seems like it's true. But then when you start picking apart the individual pieces, like the hand gestures or the luck, you know, it's like that on its own isn't really, I don't know, not enough to convince me.
Right.
But I think I'm like you, Berto, where the mouth, him mouthing things behind people is pretty suspicious.
Yes, that one is suspicious.
That alone isn't really enough to convince me. So I'll say I really, really want it to be true that he was supposed to be like the ultimate Sith master, you know, pulling all the strings behind the scenes. But I think he was just a poorly written character who should have had a bigger role and then got scrapped.
What about you, Kirk?
Well, I'll say mine, because mine has to do with kind of my whole journey.
Okay.
Your whole journey.
My
option five. Wow.
my option five is sort of it's a little bit of an amalgamation cop out here, but here's the gist of my point is that Lucas was flying by the seat of his pants, and the evidence I have is how much of that documentary is about him barely finishing the script in time for it to even start being shot and all these things. And so what I actually think is that he was leaving himself a ton of open possibilities, and that they did things like, even ad hoc things like, oh, you know what? Right. In this scene, like, go ahead and like repeat what she's saying or something. And then in his head, one day he was like, maybe what I could do is like, Jar Jar actually starts going to the dark side. Oh, but maybe all sorts of threat, like, could have been like, Jar Jar is going to develop such a close friendship with Annie because he's going to be like his best little friend, because Obi-Wan is going to feel more like a mentor, but Jar Jar is going to be really close. And so Jar Jar is going to be good as Anakin starts turning bad, and he's going to be the only thing holding him back from turning bad until Jar Jar dies tragically. And then that's why Jar Jar, everything hinges on Jar Jar. And the next day he was like, well, wait a minute, Jar Jar he's got those yellow eyes like the Sith. Maybe you know? And so
that's the most convincing evidence right there.
Yeah. So my option five is, I think he was flying by the seat of his pants, and at any given time during the shoot, it could have gone in either direction. But what I do know for a fact is the end result of episode one, I do not believe, I actually don't think they waited till after the results of how that movie did, because it did very well at the box office, actually. It did very well. I actually think by the time that movie was done, Jar Jar was not going to be the evil Sith Lord. And the reason for that is, look, they had a clear and compelling storyline with Palpatine. They had, like, you know, how do I say this? They had sort of like, if you watch the end of the movie and you try to ascribe the fact that he's using Force powers to eliminate all the droids and things like that, you could say that, but at the same time, I think they made it clear that he was comedy relief. And by the time the next movie starts, he just was gone, right? So I don't actually believe that by the end of filming, he was still on the dock to be the evil guy. I think they had already made their minds up that he's comedy relief. That's my option five, is that at any given point during the filming, it could have gone either way and in many other directions. But by the time they were done filming, that ship had sailed.
Yeah, that's a compelling argument, especially given my understanding of Lucas and the assertive yes men again that were around him, and his sort of later stage career attitude about writing. He just seemed to just think, well, let's just do that. He was much more concerned with ILM and and the gadgets and the gizmos and like showcasing his right. CGI capabilities.
I mean, you've even pointed out to me how even in episode 4, like that script, that original movie, you've said this, and I sort of like the fan in me doesn't want to believe it, but I'm sure you're right. I don't think Darth Vader was already Luke's father. I don't think Yoda, they hadn't figured out what Yoda was going to be. They certainly didn't know what Jabba was going to be. They didn't know so many things.
Well, they didn't know they were going to make an episode 5.
Right.
So,
right.
There were, if you read the history of Star Wars, the script, it had several weird iterations.
Yeah.
And even the artwork building up to, like, originally it was supposed to be, like a Star Killer, right?
Yep.
And it was it was sort of an amalgamation of Luke and Han.
Yep.
And there was supposed to be there was just all these weird iterations.
That's
and
right.
then the iteration that he happened to have upon the time that shooting began was just randomly an awesome script.
Yeah. You know? And we lucked into that.
Right. And you know, all you gotta do is watch THX 453 or whatever that movie is to realize that Lucas isn't necessarily a brilliant writer.
You know? No, his strengths at the time were those visuals and that, like, sort of, he had a sensibility for what would be cool on the big screen.
Totally. Right. And that's why, you know, I'm guessing with episode 1, he was really focused on the nerdy aspects of the technology. So I'll just tell you my little journey with this.
Right.
When I saw episode 1, I was not one of those fans who was super put off. I've never hated episode 1, 2, and 3 the way that other people have.
They definitely
weren't as good as, you know, 4, 5, and 6 to my heart, because I was older and you just can't, there's just no way you're going to make it as good in my mind. And so, right. And then later on, after watching a lot of reviews online, I started realizing all the missed opportunities and the clunky kind of, dialogue shooting and everything. And I started being convinced they were kind of shitty, but I
hate sand.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. But I just love, Star Wars stuff. You know, I watched the cartoon, and if you watch any of the cartoons, like, some of those episodes are not very good. I mean, there's episodes where it's just C-3PO and R2-D2 on like a wacky adventure, you know? but I watch it like 10 times because I just love these characters. I love the world. I don't care. And so that's how, but anyway, so when I saw Jar Jar from the first episode, I was like, well, that's kind of a funny character, but it didn't really register to me. But then afterwards, there was huge backlash. Everyone hated Jar Jar. And then I started hearing the accusations about it being a racist, Rastafarian sort of character. And then I thought, oh, God, they're right about that. And I just thought, Lucas, like, did you not ask anyone, like, how this would come across? But Jar Jar's never really bothered me that much. I mean, certainly, as time has gone by, it's become a cliche to, you know, hate Jar Jar. So I'm sort of influenced by that. But anyway, so then when I first heard this theory, I think from you guys at the live event on...
Wait, was that the first time you heard the theory?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Or maybe I'd heard of it barely, but I think I dismissed it completely. And you guys seem like smart people, and you're Canadian, right?
We are.
Yeah, and so Canadians are smart people, and so
all of us, yeah.
Well, but to be fair, it's because their floppy heads let more oxygen in, which then helps the brain think a little bit faster.
Yeah, so talking about, you know, South Park.
We don't watch South Park.
Really, yeah. Oh, no.
All the Canadians on South Park have different heads and they're floppy anyway.
Okay, well, that went right over my floppy
head. Look up on YouTube, Canadians, South Park, floppy head.
Yeah.
Oh, just Canadians, South Park.
Yeah. So when you guys said that, I thought, well, that's silly. I mean,
right.
Jar Jar is ridiculous. That, you know, it's just probably one of those theories, like, you know, they're like, for instance, Watson and Sherlock being secretly in love or secret lovers or something.
Right.
And I, you know, just thought, okay, it's just one of those internet fun things that people like to get into that I'm just not convinced by. And then we scheduled this, you know, this podcast, and I actually went online and looked at some of the evidence, and I have to say, like, I was you know, especially when Lucas started saying that Jar Jar was the key to the entire trilogy.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, what? Like, okay, you know, and then you start seeing all these subtle little clues. And so in starting this episode, I was fairly convinced of, what was it? The second option.
Yeah, option two.
Or third option, honestly. It's like one of, you know, either the Lucas intended.
I've always forgot which one's which.
Yeah, option two was that he intended for him to be the bad guy, but chickened out after episode one. Option three was he actually intended for him to be the bad guy, but subtly so, and is still technically the bad guy.
And Lucas never intended on revealing that. So,
I see.
And honestly, that feels so much better to me because it makes it so that Lucas is like this genius troll, right. who wrote in a story, you know, elements that it took us 20 years to figure right. out. And it just makes it darker and more, you know, rated R, if that makes any sense, you know, just way more deep. Yeah. And then it's like, I want to know like more about Jar Jar's behind the scenes, and like it just makes it so much more interesting of a trilogy. Like it really just fascinated me.
Right.
And then as we started talking, Luke started talking about option number four, which is that, and then, you know, the interview with the actor.
Right.
I'm convinced it's option number four.
Which he was meant to have a way bigger role and in fact have force powers, but not evil. He wasn't like
right
something
right. Oh yeah, well, who knows, but he wasn't knowingly Sith powering right. it up episode right. one, but that there were going to be major storylines, you know, there yep. would be an Anakin storyline in episode two, but there would also be a full Jar Jar storyline of some kind where Jar Jar mm-hmm. the drunken master somehow starts to learn his drunken master ways
yep.
and becomes like a respected Jedi apprentice yep. or something. That I can imagine, because that fits in line with how stupid I think Lucas is.
Right. Well, I will say, so I actually, you know, full disclosure, I had come across all the videos. I don't know how long ago, but it was a while ago. So when you mentioned it, I did know what you were talking about, but I sort of act as if that is not a reality that's real. And I did watch the documentary, and so meaning the making of and stuff like that.
Right.
I will say, so I wasn't in reality so convinced by the lip syncing. I thought that it was weird, and I agree with you. It can't just be the actor like accidentally doing that. That seems like that doesn't make sense.
For some reason, we don't know why, but
right.
there was going to be a purpose to it at some point.
Right. But then I did watch those parts of the movie, not just the clips. And in context, I wasn't so convinced that it was even a thing. But that said, the one that really, like you guys, got me thinking more was Lucas's Jar Jar is meant to be the you know, the center of this whole thing. That is a weird statement for him to make, right? Like, that's an interest. And I'm mostly probably, after this discussion, I'm probably leaning with you on option four. Because why would he say that, right? Why would he say Jar Jar is the
linchpin? And why would he spend so much time developing that character?
Yeah,
right.
He's so prominent in episode one.
Right. But I do feel like I have a definitive reason why he cannot be Sith.
All right.
Okay.
Pitch it to us.
And it's that if there's one thing that Lucas did sort of hold to in his episodes 1 through 3, unlike, by the way, that even though I like the new episodes better, mm-hmm. you know, the, what's it, Force Awakens, stuff like that.
The Last Jedi, yeah.
I will say they break a ton of canon. Like they've changed a lot of the rules. And I'm okay with that. But the one thing that Lucas did hold to in episodes 1 through 3,
So just an asterisk to that.
Yeah.
A lot of the things that are considered quote unquote canon to episode 4, 5, and 6 were things that fans invented.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That are sort of reading into it.
And look, and George Lucas ruined just as much as the next. Like, he added midichlorians for crying out.
Right. That was ridiculous. Pretty crazy.
But there was one thing that he held consistent, at least unless, I guess, you really believe this thing, was that the Sith are paired.
Right, the rule of two.
Master and an apprentice. And it just did not make sense to me that there was no room. And oh, and then the other thing about the Sith is that they were sort of fairly consistent on their demeanor and behavior. And it just, like, the whole Jar Jar being a Sith,
how
that fit in there anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, that Yoda being a Jedi, I never questioned that when we came across Yoda in Empire, right? And granted, I was a kid, but even nowadays when I think about it, Obi-Wan and Yoda are very equivalent, right? They're very equivalent. They're both sort of hermits. They're both sort of like, a little eccentric.
Well, I only half disagree with what you're saying. I mean, I do agree on some level, but I remember, I was 9 years old when I saw Empire.
Yeah.
So I remember the thoughts I was having, you know, as I was watching it. And I remember being pretty shocked when Yoda reveals himself.
Yes, no, I don't disagree. But even in my
and actually, at first, I thought he was lying because I'm like, surely you're not Yoda. There's no way,
right?
Because in my head, Yoda was like some other human, some even more masterly looking guy like Alec Guinness, you know, some even older, wiser, stronger, you know.
But remember, they had already pulled that trick even in the same movie, just not to the audience, but to Luke, because Luke was under the impression that old Ben Kenobi was just like this nice, but sort of wacky character in the desert. And then
when he first meets him, he's like, well, what?
And it's funny because, you know, you can make fun of it now because the name sounds so damn similar. You're like, how did you not think that that could be the same? But do you mean old Ben Kenobi? Well, that's crazy talk. So they already sort of pulled that one out, right? Because old Ben Kenobi is this hermit out in the desert, sort of wacky, eccentric.
Uncle Owen talks, but
I could just go on to like prove that George Lucas really likes using that.
But for the Jedi.
Yeah,
none of the Sith,
but it runs in the family.
Pattern.
You know, Luke Skywalker couldn't figure out between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Ben Kenobi, and his father, Anakin Skywalker, couldn't figure out that his son, Luke Skywalker, would be who was being raised by his his brother,
right?
Would not be his one of his children.
Oh my God, you're so right. but here's the thing. Every Sith we were ever shown...
Actually, Berto, we have to take a break.
Okay, let's take a break.
Let's take a break. We're back from the break.
Please subscribe to our patronship. And every Sith...
Can you do a Jar Jar mind...
Not mind meld,
that's Star Trek.
You shall want to become a patron. Misa, we'd be sorry if you don't join. All right, so every Sith we've been shown is hell-bent on one thing, and that is power. They're all bent on power. And they're all serious. They mean serious business, and that's it. And so, you could say, well, Emperor Palpatine was like, you know, acting. But he wasn't acting goofy, and he was bent on power as well. And so it's like consistent. And there's a master, and there's an apprentice. There's no room for Jar Jar.
But you're basically saying there's no way Jar Jar could be a Sith because Lucas is a consistent writer when it comes to
that.
But he's extremely inconsistent with everything else.
Well, and you're assuming that only what we can see as the audience in those first three episodes is what's going on, you know, like, or that only having super obvious power is, you know, the only way that they can gain it. If he's pulling the strings behind, if he were to be pulling the strings behind all the scenes, how do we know that wouldn't lead to some greater power in the end? You know.
Ooh, actually, that relates to a sixth theory that I'm going to.
Oh, okay.
Oh boy.
So if you watch the cartoons, Clone Wars, and
oh, we have, yeah,
okay, and if you and I think what they're going toward in Episode 9. Because of some of the symbols that you see on the books that they had in that tree.
Right.
I think, you know, there's this whole notion in the Star Wars canon now, because it's in the cartoons, is that there's a balance between light and dark, and there are some figures who reside right in the middle. They're neither, you know, Sith or, you know, or so-called Jedi. They're they're right in the middle. There is perfect balance, and they reside right in the middle, and you mm-hmm. need those kind of characters. And in some ways, Anakin was like that. He brought, quote-unquote, balance to the Force.
Right.
And so you maybe an even more complicated genius writing that Lucas did was that Jar Jar was neither Sith nor Jedi, but he was like a right in the middle. He yeah. had evil and good elements, and he was like super wise and was this super balanced everything. And he knew or intuited or something that the course of events needed to happen to set in motion so that Anakin and Luke could bring balance to the Force eventually.
So wait, you're saying Jar Jar was super wise and balanced?
Let me ask you guys a question.
Or intuited it. Maybe he intuited what needed to happen.
I don't know.
First of all, I'm going to go full in the other direction, but
another theory?
Don't believe this. So we heard about Darth Plagueis.
Yeah, we're getting close.
Darth Sidious tells, what's his name, Anakin, like, oh, you know, the story of Darth Plagueis who conquered death, right?
Yeah.
So here's my brief impromptu theory. When George Lucas says that everything revolves around Jar Jar, right? The whole thing is that Jar Jar is Darth Plagueis who overcame death. And so Jar Jar is like 6,000 years old or whatever, right? And so now, later in the movies, when Anakin finds out that Jar Jar is Darth Plagueis, he sees a way to, you know, like save Padme through this dark side bullshit. And then, you know, but ultimately he realizes that to gain the power, he has to slay Darth, Plagueis, who is Jar Jar. And this grants him you could see that. But here's the deal. Do you remember that when they go to the water city, mm-hmm. everyone knows who Jar Jar is?
Right. Oh, that's the other thing. They're all stranger. Like kind of freaked out by him. They're not just like, here's the annoying guy.
And they don't say, where have you been for the last 60 years?
Yeah.
But a lot of them are scared of him when he first comes back. The Gungans, they like run away from him when he first appears.
Because he's clumsy as heck.
Does that mean when you see a clumsy person, do you run away screaming for them?
If he has a propensity for bonking you on the head randomly, yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, let me put it this way. Did the High Council act like they were scared of him?
Well, what they did is they went,
Yeah.
No. It was clear that he wasn't in charge.
You needed more spit in that one, though.
So, and there was no indication that the High Council was like, oh, don't hurt us, Jar Jar. What do you need? No. They didn't care about him. They knew who he was. He's one of them. He's known as he's dangerous around others because he's so freaking clumsy. He causes tons of disasters, but he's not been missing for 90 years. They know who he is. Everyone knows. Whereas Yoda had been missing. No one knows where he is.
Sure. That's
by himself.
True.
All right. So final word, Birdo, and then April and Luke will give their final word.
Okay. Yeah. I love, 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 love what George Lucas created. I feel bad that I have maligned him so many times. But on this front, I think he was flying by the seat of his pants, and there was the grandest theory. In fact, that quote on that day where he says Jar Jar is the key to everything, I think they just caught him in a moment where he thought that might be the case. And 5 minutes later, that's not on video. He's like, well, actually, that doesn't make sense. Never mind.
All right, Luke and April, what's your final word?
Yeah, I think Jar Jar definitely had a bigger role to play. And whether that was something that was more concrete or, like you said, it was just one of Lucas's many options, I guess only he knows. But yeah, I think the evidence from the voice actor saying, you know, there's some truth to these Darth Jar Jar theories, and that, you know, there's that early script that was Jar Jar's grand adventure, George Lucas saying he was the key to all of this, just a lot of things where definitely could have had a bigger role, and whether that was like a really concrete plan or not, yeah, I'm not sure. But for sure, I think before all the backlash, he was going to be a bigger part of the story.
April.
Yeah, I second that. I stick with what I said before. I think he was originally supposed to have a bigger role, which could be a lot of different types of things, but I don't think he was supposed to be the ultimate bad guy, you know, or the ultimate Sith Lord. But I really, 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 really wish that was the case. That would be so much more fun. And I mean, the Star Wars movies, all of them are thoroughly entertaining anyway, but it would just be another layer to, you know, have fun with. But
yeah,
I don't think it's the case.
It is really fun to think about. Yeah. I agree. And Kirk, if you want to like have that as what is true in your mind, because the other option is painful of, you know, what Jar Jar actually is. There's a recording where the voice actor for Jar Jar Binks speaks as Darth Jar Jar, which is
that exists.
Kind of amazing.
There's so a, what do you mean? He's like,
oh, for the hell of it, I'll do the voice as a bad guy.
As Darth Jar Jar.
Better
join us. Yeah.
Like that, but better. Yeah.
Like it if you don't.
Yeah, that, but like 100 times better.
What?
That's BS.
Right, it's actually kind of terrifying and amazing. But yeah, you should go look it up if you care.
I will. Well, that does it for that episode of Psychology in Seattle. Thanks for joining us, April and Luke from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, please take care of yourself because
you deserve it.
All right. Thanks, Luke and April.
Oh, why? I should have said you deserve it.
Yeah.
Come on, you missed your chance.